You know, the USA was formed by immigrants. You know, that's the message that is broadcast 24/7, 365 days a year. Many people make long journeys just to get here because they want that freedom that we've always had. And I don't blame them. Our national icon of freedom is sitting in New York Harbor. And written on the base of the Statue of Liberty is part of a poem. But the poem is like this. This is not like the brazen giant of Greek fame with conquering limbs astride from the land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning and her name Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands your stored pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky, and all who see her know she stands for the liberty that you and I have and sometimes take for granted. If you're like me, you love America. I'm blessed. I feel blessed that I was born here. Sometimes I'm frustrated with the country, just like all of us are, but still blessed that I'm here. For most of us, that if you've ever been to a foreign country, you see how privileged you are. I realized that as a young man when I was in the military and was sent to Central America, and I was in Honduras for a while. I realized, man, how privileged and how good I really had it at home. And to be an American soldier and not a Honduran soldier, way different. They go into the military. If you're 14 years old and you don't have an excuse or a medical excuse, you have to go. They go through the towns and they load you up on a truck and haul you off to camp. I don't know where you're at. You may love America, you may hate America. However, one thing is non-negotiable based on 246 years of American history. No other country in the world comes even close to what America has accomplished. We are fortunate. We have more opportunities than any other country. No other country in the world has even come close to having the religious freedom that we have today. The desire for freedom is what has brought tens of millions to this amazing nation during its 200-year history. It wasn't by chance, though, that America has been a beacon of civil freedom for over 200 years. The framers of this great nation purposefully wrote the founding documents to reflect the Judeo-Christian core values. God has blessed America because America chose God. Amen? Amen? America is a beacon of freedom, but always is the case, it was founded at a tremendous cost. Today we honor those who have given so much to help and guarantee our freedom. Amen? That's why we honor this day. Today we honor the memory of so many who gave up so much to guarantee our freedom. Today we honor the memory of so many who paid the ultimate price to guarantee our freedom. You see, freedom is never free, is it? Someone always has to pay the price for freedom. When the framers of our Constitution met to hammer out our civil liberties and freedoms, they sought for divine inspiration. These quotes from some of the signers of the Constitution reveal their focus as they met to hammer out the document that has guided our nation throughout the past 246 years. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And in Matthew 12, 34, it says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Richard Bassett, one of the signers, says this, every person who shall be chosen a member of either house or appointed of any office or place of trust shall make and subscribe the following declaration. He said, I will profess faith in God the Father and in Jesus Christ His Holy Son and in the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore, and I do acknowledge the Holy Scripture of the Old and the New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. Gunning Bedford says, now to the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be ascribed all honor and dominion forevermore. William Blount, now person who denies, no person who denies being of God or a future state of rewards and punishment shall hold any office in the civil department of the state. Jacob Broom, writing to his son, he says this, don't forget to be a Christian. I have said much to you on this head, and I hope an inevitable impression is made. John Dickinson, to my Creator, I resign myself, humbly confiding in His goodness and in His mercy through Jesus Christ for the events of eternity. Benjamin Franklin wrote this, he said, I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth. God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without His notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without His aid? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Powerful, huh? Nathaniel Gorham says this, I believe the Christian religion and I have a firm persuasion of its truth. Alexander Hamilton says, For my own part, I sincerely esteem it a system which without the finger of God never could have been suggested and agreed upon by such a diversity of interests. William Samuel Johnson said, remember too that you are the redeemed of the Lord, that you are bought with a price, even the inestimable price of the precious blood of the Son of God. William Livingston says, I believe the Scripture of the Old and New Testament without any foreign comments or human explanations. I believe that he who feareth God and worketh righteousness will be accepted of Him. James Madison, the belief in God, all-powerful, wise, and good, is essential to the moral order of the world and to the happiness of man. James McHenry says, consider also the rich do not possess nothing more than precious than their Bible. And that the poor cannot be presented by the rich with anything greater than value of value. William Patterson, religion and morality are necessary to good government, good order, and good laws. Roger Sherman says, I believe that there is only one living and true God existing in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The same is subsequent, equal in power and glory. That the Scripture of the Old and New Testament are a revelation from God and a complete rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. George Washington says, Almighty and eternal Lord God, the great Creator of heaven and earth and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, look down from heaven in pity and compassion upon me, Thy servant, who humbly prostrate myself before Thee. These 56, along with Vice President of the American Bible Society, many preachers and pastors, many gave everything they had so that we could have our freedom established in the Word of God. There's been many monuments have been erected in honor of these great men. And I think it's sad that if we remove monuments that were set in place in our great capital, Washington, that were dedicated to the glory of God, we leave our capital fatally wounded. God is as much a part of the American fiber as an apple pie or maybe baseball. But God is the center of it all. God is mentioned throughout all of our founding documents, and even though there are so many attempts today at rewriting history. His story is so indelibly impressed on every foundation, every pillar of this great nation, that to attempt to take him out would collapse the entire structure. God bless America. God continue to bless America. We may struggle and we may falter, but with God we will not fail. A song that we sang, God bless America, the land that I love. We stand beside her and we guide her through the night with the light from above. Freedom is never free, is it? Richard Stockton, he was a Quaker from New Jersey, was one of the 56 signers of the Declaration. Stockton in 1758 helped to construct the Quaker meeting house near his hometown of Morven. Stockton was a prominent lawyer and a landowner until the day that he signed the Declaration of Independence, and the English army removed him and his family from their home and put them in prison. He was known to be a traitor to the crown. And as a result of his harsh treatment, his health was broken. And after his imprisonment, he returned to his burned and ransacked remnants of Morven, and he died there 4 years later at the age of 51. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned, and they lost everything they had. 9 either died from war wounds or from hardship suffered in the war. Someone always has to pay a high price for freedom. No national icon better summarized the freedom guaranteed by the American construction than the Statue of Liberty. When citizens of other world countries become naturalized Americans, citizens, they receive with their citizenship rights and privileges guaranteed by the Constitution for every single citizen. And it doesn't matter. It's independent of gender or race or national origin or religion or age or marital status or disability. Those freedoms are for you. With that said, however, you know, the course of history, of human history, if we look at that, we should all come to understand that those who do not learn the lesson of history are doomed to repeat it. You know, when we look back at history, it reveals that the average period of time before a given civilization collapsed from global leadership, is a little over 200 years. History tells us that instead of learning lessons taught by nations, they repeated themselves, like Assyria and Persia and Greece and Rome and Spain and Britain. The average 232 years, we are 14 years beyond that. See, our eternal collapse, we were 14 years beyond that, and we must be, I think sometimes we're on borrowed time. But I have to remember that it's by the grace of God. And I believe because of what our founding fathers have done and because of what great men have sacrificed in their life, God has given us grace to continue. You know, many I talk to are amazed at the moral decay that we see in this nation. all the things that are going on, really, it really hurts to see the world that I grew up in doesn't seem to be the world we live in today. How much longer will God let us stand? You know, God chose to bless America because of one reason. God has blessed America because of the choices made by our founding fathers. God has blessed America because America chose to follow God and His rules of order. But that's rapidly ceasing in America today. It is understandable that the USA could collapse in not too far of a distant future. That weighs on the hearts of many. As the world beacon of freedom and liberty for having left its founding principles. When we take God out of everything, when we remove God from our schools and our places of business and our universities, and we drive God out of the picture, we're doomed. And for that reason alone, because of the true nature of bondage and slavery, it's not dealt with by human governments and of man-made constitutions. It's through birth. All human beings are citizens of this world. The citizenship trumps all individual national citizenships. And every single human being, with the exception of one who was virgin-born, was born in bondage to sin. As long as any person, male or female, young or old, willfully remains a citizen of this world, they remain slaves to this world, enslaved by the prince of this world, and that's Satan. We think about what the founding fathers paid, but we also look at what was paid for our spiritual salvation. Jesus came to pay the wage of sin, which is death, and through His shed blood to offer us citizenship into His heavenly kingdom. If we would, within our freedoms, we'll ask Him. Every citizen in His kingdom has privileges, joy, and peace, and purpose to live an abundant life. That's what everybody wants, isn't it? Every citizen also has responsibilities. Believe it or not, we have responsibilities, don't we? To walk in all the light that we receive as Christians, to share with other and make disciples. That's our responsibility as a church. That's our responsibility as a citizen of heaven. Just like we have responsibilities here in America. Freedom from the slavery to sin, free of charge to every single human being on the planet. Man, isn't that amazing? And it doesn't matter what gender you are, what race you are, what national origin you are, what religion you are, what age you are, what your marital status is, or what your disability is. God's grace will save you if you just ask Him. Just as America boasts of a national icon located in New York Harbor, we have received the forgiveness of sin and adoption as children in a different kingdom, also have an icon standing for all to see. This icon has stood unchanged, unaltered, untouched, unbothered, undamaged, unscathed, unharmed, and intact for more than 2,000 years. And those who find themselves at the base of this icon discover freedom and liberty in the truest sense of the word, and forever changed they are. And it's the cross of Jesus Christ, and it melts the sin-hardened hearts of men and transforms derelicts into productive citizens, and it turns hatred into love and bitterness into forgiveness and weakness into strength and discouragement into joy. Amen? Amen. It turns the blind into see. It turns slaves into free men. It takes people out of bondage and puts them in a life of abundancy. People think that abundant life means material things, but abundant life means your heart is full of joy. Emperors have tried to destroy this country, Christian life. Philosophers and ideologists have tried to stamp it out, and tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those kneeling at the cross. Yet it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall rise in one mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that? I vision that. For in that day every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross of Calvary, is truly Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. Does that get you excited this morning? At the base of the Statue of Liberty is written these words: give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me, and I lift my lamp beside the golden door. The comparison here, if you don't think God is not in the writings of the founding fathers, in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus says this: come to me, all of you who are weary and carry a heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and I am gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you glad to be an American today? Are you glad that you came to the cross and gave your life for Christ? Are you weary this morning, though, as your joy became a distant memory? Is the burden that you are carrying this morning too heavy for you to bear? Is the journey that you're on this morning seem too difficult to finish? Is sin dominating your life and you're feeling its death grip on you? Is what you're doing with your life working for you? Are you sick and tired of grabbing for all that this world has, and you only find disappointment after disappointment and discouragement after discouragement? Are you tired of that inner battle that tears you apart inside, knowing the right thing to do but doing the wrong thing? Are you fed up with being religious while all the while feeling God is extremely distant and absent from your world? Are you tired of trying to be good? Are you tired of putting on a happy face while your heart is breaking in two? Are you fed up with the life in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Listen to me this morning. The most important thing you can do is become a citizen of the eternal kingdom. It's not based on our performance, but rather based on the death of Jesus on the cross. Your citizenship certificate is written in His blood and inscribed in the pages of His written word. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you intervene in every part of not only our nation here in America. Lord, that you be a part of every decision made, that you be with every justice that sits on the court, that you be with the president and the vice president and the Congress. Lord, that you be in the House, that you be in every part of our government. Let your Holy Spirit dwell there, Lord. Lord, but I pray also that your Holy Spirit dwell right here. Lord, bring joy to people's hearts. Lord, melt the hard-heartedness of every man and woman here this morning, child. Lord, bring your Holy Spirit's revival to us today. Lord, we need you. We cannot exist without you, Lord. And our founding fathers of this great nation knew that. And they called upon your name, Lord, as we call upon you today. Lord, let us be great examples of not only what good American citizens should be, but also what good citizens of the eternal God should be as well. Lord, let us show you through everything that we do. So Lord, let us leave here with joy in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that anyone here this morning that doesn't have that joy in their heart, that they just step forward right now. If they're dealing with things in their life, Lord, that they cannot bear any longer, Lord, I just pray that they come to you today. Turn their lives over to you at the foot of the cross. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.